Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
This is Dr. Jerome Corsi, and I've been on Audrey Russo's show for years. I want to tell you, you'll be making a bad mistake if you don't tune in to Audrey Russo every time she's on the air.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. What does the French Revolution and the current state of the U.S. have in common? You'll be shocked when you learn, and it's worse than you think. And we're going to discuss this and more with my next guest for my new listeners. Diana West is the author of several best-selling books, including The Death of the Grown-Up, How America's Arrested Development is Bringing Down Western Civilization, and American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. And she's the author of the new bestseller, The Red Thread, A Search for Ideological Drivers Inside the Anti-Trump Conspiracy. Diana has also been a columnist for the Washington Times, Scripps Howard News Service, and United Media, and she can be read at the Daily Caller. Diana is also a popular analyst and contributor on both radio and TV. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Diana West.
Hear you again.
Welcome back, Diana.
Wonderful to be with you, Audrey.
Oh, it's great to have you with us again, and we're going to jump right in here. I'm going to ask a question that probably may sound odd, not to you, but it might sound odd to the listeners. But here we go. How does what is happening right now in the U.S. compare to the French Revolution?
Yes. Well, this is my new rabbit hole, and it will sound strange to people at first, but maybe not, because we are living through a revolutionary period. And the reason this is helpful and important for us to kind of walk through is because we have to understand who is actually upholding the Constitution of the United States, who stands for free and fair elections, and who is on the right side here. And I just want to announce to everybody that it's us. It's the people. It's the people who voted for Donald Trump in 2020 and won that election. And that is my starting point, because what has happened ever since between November 3rd, 2020, and then we get to January 6th, 2021, that was our electoral coup d'etat. And from that day forward, or really from the election night forward, we have been called election deniers, insurrectionists. We have close to 1,000 of our fellow citizens defendants in this witch hunt for scapegoating the people who went to the Capitol on January 6th. Many of them are being kept in literally gulag-like conditions in various prisons, including the one that's known as the D.C. Gulag in Washington, D.C., and denied due process and many other rights they have, even as defendants. We have pretrial incarceration now going on, you know, coming up on 2 years in a few months. This is incredible. Solitary confinement, etc. But the main thing that's going on against the vast numbers of the rest of us who are not actually at that tip of the spear and under that prosecutorial duress, we are being mind-gamed to believe that the people who say they defend democracy are not the real insurrectionists. And this is where I go back to the French Revolution, because here is where you see they were pretty open about being revolutionaries. Mm. But what is shocking to me when I started doing this research is there are so many things that knit today's, let's call them, you know, the insurrectionary commune of 2021 with the insurrectionary commune of I'm going to 1792. So let me take you through a few steps here of why this is similar and why it's important. In August, it's actually the 230th anniversary we just passed. August 10th, 1792, in Paris. They already had a few years of revolution since 1789. The king and his family were basically prisoners in the Tuileries in Paris. There was an assembly, and there was evolving this secret commune, the Paris Commune. The word communist may actually come from that Paris Commune. Mm-hmm. And on that day, actually after midnight on August 10, 1792, the Paris Commune had the church bells of Paris ringing the tocsin, which normally is for calling the faithful to the churches, but the churches were closed. Mm. What they were doing was beginning a day that saw the first real massacre of the French Revolution. And by the end of the day, there was only one branch of, or one government in force. The monarchy was gone, dissolved. The assembly had voted to dissolve itself. And you had this Paris Commune under Danton in power. And you had this first massacre. Now, the things that strike me as similar have to do with the process here to destroy the Constitution, to ensure that, get this, on August 13th, just a few days after this, a special tribunal was set up to investigate the crimes of August 10th, those crimes being defense of the king, working in his household, or basically not going along with the revolution in general. Mm. Now, I'm sorry, I hear echoes of the January 6th Commission right there.
Right.
I also see the echoes in terms of the turmoil and fighting, very similar to what happened at the Capitol on January 6th, when you had this rubber stamping of the Electoral College vote, even as the state legislators from the five contested states were begging Vice President Pence, then Vice President Pence, to give them time to sort out election fraud that they were seeing evidence of in their individual states. These were state legislators calling on for a pause.
Right.
That was a very important thing to deflect from, but this is kind of this notion of this rubber stamping body really correlates to that, what was going on in the assembly, which was also surrounded by quite bloody turmoil. This is where you see the king of France ordering his Swiss guard basically to disarm. And you see this first massacre, over 600 were massacred. And this was the kind of thing they did in those days, was they cut off your head and rolled it down the street or put it on a pike.
Oh.
So very... Yes, yes. So very bloody, very, aggressive, barbaric, etc. But frankly, when you see this is what totalitarians do. They want to go to court and make it all nice, right? They want to have trials. Right. This is what you see in France. And what you also see in the same revolutionary period going forward is this this rise of basically what I would call the pre-modern, or it was a modern era, but the pre-FBI FBI, what we're seeing today. You see this committee of surveillance, which became the Committee of Public Safety, which was quite notorious. We saw hundreds of thousands of people in France arrested eventually in their terror period, and some 30, 40,000 killed in this same horrible period. But you see this effort to go house to house, ostensibly looking for guns and hello, Second Amendment rights problems, but really the state looking for political enemies and dragging people out and arresting them. And I'm sorry, the correlation to what the FBI, frankly, the U.S. Army, I just read an arrest warrant today of one of the J6 defendants and find out that there was actually U.S. Army along on his arrest team that what? Took him from his, yes,
oh my
yes,
gosh.
It's a real thing. It's shocking how the government's been weaponized against the people. But again, it's quite totalitarian. There are all kinds of similarities, you know, the king and his family consulting with the attorney general of the time and basically being told, I can't do, you know, the attorney general of the day, telling them he doesn't deal with this kind of crime in terms of the overturning of a monarchy. But how, again, a loose parallel to then Attorney General Barr basically dismissing the whole concept of election fraud. Won't investigate a thing. These are very interesting issues in terms of the law has to be destroyed, the Constitution has to be destroyed. But ultimately, what is really being destroyed, and this is why we have 1792 revolutionaries and 2022 revolutionaries, the existing traditional order. Now, this is the French, divine right of kings, the French monarchy of 1792 was there. Traditional order had to be overturned, destroyed. In 2022, our order, our voting, our right to choose our own president by vote, our presidential situation, our three branches had to be destroyed. The difference is that in 1792, they called themselves revolutionaries. They were open about revolutionary activities. Today, this same impulse is called protecting democracy. And we the people are the insurrectionists. I mean, look at one other thing, and then I want to talk to you about it, but one other thing, Project Veritas recently got a really important leak from the FBI, which was a sheet, a discussion of military extremist symbols and slogans. And darned if they weren't our 1776 revolutionary slogans, our Gadsden Don't Tread on Me flag. And then this one really hurts. People who question whether Ashley Babbitt, who was the shot to death by a Capitol Hill police officer on January 6th, if you question what happened to her, you're under that same military extremist list. People who are worried about what happened to Ashley Babbitt, according to the FBI, might be a military extremist. Look how the state is turning on us in this, I argue, revolutionary way.
This is stunning because, you shared before that this was possible, and here it is. I mean, by the way, I want to, as a side note, I want to say that you were spot on about Bill Barr. You had his number a long time ago, and everyone was putting their hope in him. Yeah, but you were, and I've said it to some of our friends that are generals before, that we understand that we want to, you got to put your hope in the right thing, okay? Not him,
right.
For sure. But there's other individuals, but you nailed it, and again, you're nailing it, because look at how they manipulate language to say the,
yes.
Well, look what they did with this bill, this insanity. It really is like an inflation explosion bill. It's not an inflation reduction. It's not going to reduce anything. They're trying to, of course, collapse the dollar. So, Biden is basically helping China and Russia to collapse our dollar. But I didn't mean to go off course there. But this is...
No, you're right. It's all connected.
It's all connected. And they will name it the opposite because, sadly, they think... most Americans are dumb, is what they think. Now, most Americans may be intellectually lazy, or they may not be paying attention because they're trying to live their lives that have been destroyed for 2 years by the totalitarian actions of so-called democracies around the globe.
Right.
But it's happening, and you need to look beneath the surface. Mm-hmm. You know, this is... Yeah, well, let me ask you this. How did we go from the Reagan era of morning again in America and a shining city on a hill to a police state? Because that's basically what it looks like we are now.
Well, that's a great question. I would say the police state was a warning at that time. I don't think any of this is brand new. What is really new about our situation now is how open the excesses are. You know, they may call themselves, say they're protecting democracy or say they're curbing inflation, but in terms of their actions, raiding the president's home, for example, with no good cause, no rational pretext, no lawful interest, they are openly moving to the jackboot surveillance state type society, even though they call it something beautiful, protecting democracy, stopping inflation. I mean, how Soviet is that? It's like five-year plans, you know, supposed to show prosperity as people are starving and farms are hellholes. You know, it's that same totalitarian impulse to lie. And basically, again, and this is sort of the main point, it's about how we perceive events, and they're creating their reality and hoping that we can't fight it. And when you have the media in the tank to a point where, for example, a former FBI senior official, I believe it was Frank Figliuzzi, went on one of the cable shows and said the FBI does not like the word raid in connection with what happened, the raid on President Trump's home, Mar-a-Lago. Well, lo and behold, the media started using the word search. Now, if they're that far in the tank that they are literally taking instruction so submissively, it's very hard for normal Americans to maintain their sense of reality when it's never reflected in the media around them. And this is why your show is so important, Audrey, and shows and sites like yours, where at least we are able to talk about these things and and not use the coded language of this insurrectionary period. I think that the correlation is so strong to what we saw in the French Revolution, down to these prosecutions, down to these searches, down to this criminalization of defending the law. It's and the established order, king or president. I mean, it's who we are. I would say in the French Revolution, I'm not a scholar of the French Revolution, but their main target was the church.
Yes.
Today, their main target is the Constitution.
Yes.
Our Bill of Rights. We have no Bill of Rights. It's an antique document at this point, writ large. You know, it's of course you and I are having a free conversation here, but in terms of the public square, in terms of the big tech controlled public square, in terms of how the media is dealing with these things and our politicians for the most part, we are very censored, and you know, on and on and on and on. And now at this point, you know, Fourth Amendment rights are out the window as well, in terms of against illegal search and seizure, and Second Amendment rights are under siege, etc. Due process, which is also in there as well, is being denied to the January 6th defendants, you know, just incredibly, horrifically. And there's no authority, you know, there's no institutional authority calling this, balancing this, restraining this. They are in charge. And that is why I know you wanted to talk a little bit about the top-down revolutionary idea.
Yes.
That is something very important to grasp, because it's not like all the people are this way.
No.
We re-elected Donald Trump. The people re-elected Donald Trump. The people are not revolutionary. However, the elites are. And I think everyone can see that, from Trudeau in Canada to, you know, the World Economic Forum, across the board, you know, everything.
Right.
The elites are the revolutionaries. And that is why this is a top down revolution. They control the police, the reins of state, the reins of power, the media, etc., education, all. That is why it's very difficult to penetrate, you know, out into the atmosphere what's really going on, because they really are manning all these really important gates. They're like super gatekeepers and trying to really nail us down.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, that's exactly it. I mean, it's because most people have never heard that. What do you mean top down? But because they are the revolutionaries.
Right.
And we have to be very careful not to believe them at face value when they say, right. Oh, well, we're saving democracy. Well, first of all, we're a representative republic. We're a constitutional republic. We're not a clear democracy like you have up in, although theirs is different too, up in Canada, but in other countries that are democracies. But they're not saving. They're not saving anything, and anything they say has to be, yeah, absolutely. You need to take what they say and be it treated, you know, that it is suspicious that they are not telling off the bat. They are not telling you the truth. Now look and see what's going on. Well, look at this. Now, if we're not struggling enough with gas prices, that bill, which he signed, now is going to add on to that another tax. Eventually, through their money laundering very uniquely, is going to end up in their pockets because of the companies they've invested in, and which are green, which don't work. Okay, so
right, or Ukraine.
Or Ukraine.
Piggy bank.
Well, see, that's the whole thing with the lens lease, which we've heard about, and there were some Republicans that voted for it, which was shocking to me that they didn't understand what that was. You were giving him a blank check to keep giving money to the Ukraine, and which they are still benefiting from. So are some Republicans, as far as that goes.
And no oversight. They voted this money, this endless money, and I think it's a great way to just completely empty or further to put us in the red in terms of our treasury. And it's a great way to get rid of all of our weapon systems. Just send them to Ukraine. We won't have them. The invasion will be that much easier from whatever direction it comes. And I'm not entirely hyperbolic in this sense. I actually think it feels that way.
That's what they're doing.
That's what they're doing.
They're selling them to terrorists as well. They're selling the systems.
Why not? Yeah. You know, it's really insane. And it's interesting that in those French Revolutionary days, they had a war going on with some Austrians and Germans and things. And that the Revolutionary Commune was able to use that to bring people together. They were literally at that time in fear of invasion. And again, the foreign war always is an adventure. Look how they used it to switch people off COVID right to Ukraine. We had the Ukraine hysteria. It seems to have abated somewhat over the last, you know, few months ago. These kinds of totalitarian rulers, they just use these things to manipulate people, to get them emotional, to make them afraid, and do what they will. So it's strange to see it, but the correlations really do exist in kind of totalitarianism 101, how you manipulate a population, how you lie to a population, how you control the ones who want to say no. It's always the same. And I will say that in the middle, we have the Russian Revolution. And, you know, Lenin certainly looked back for inspiration to the French Revolution. You know, you wonder who's studying it on among our tormentors today, because the sort of the way forward for them seems to be so already traveled, and it's very disturbing, you know, to say the least.
Yeah. And I did want to mention too that our intel community, to me, as far as I'm concerned, and I don't know if you agree, are completely infiltrated by communists. They are corrupt to the core. Now, you had two whistleblowers, which expanded after the two whistleblowers, it expanded to 14, but that is nothing. That is, you can't even count that as a remnant. They need to be gutted. See, now I don't agree with Tucker Carlson on this, because he thinks, no, well, we need them. We need, okay, you know what? That's going to be gutted. No, I'm sorry.
We don't need them. I agree with you, Audrey.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%.
It's dangerous, because now they no longer are, they completely ignore the law, and as you said, well, they're a renegade, they're rogue, and they're attacking the people.
They're occupying us. Yeah, I agree. And people should remember, they're not constitutionally mandated organizations. Our intelligence agencies were all created by presidential executive order, and they can be uncreated. These jobs that they do can't, certainly look at the FBI. The FBI jobs can be taken over by individual state agencies that are much more closely run and more transparent to the people of the individual state. Look at, State Rep. Sabatini down in Florida, who basically wants to prevent the FBI, from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, from being authorized to operate in the state of Florida. So again, remember the wisdom of our founders, right, in terms of understanding you need states' rights to prevent the encroachments of a federal occupier, basically a federal force. And I'm sure there were people all along the way from, what was it, the 1920s when the FBI came into being, in connection, maybe World War I period, who were probably warning us about it at that time.
Yeah, and they have become completely unaccountable. You saw Ray before, I believe it was the Senate, and he had to, I have to leave. I can't. I'm like, excuse me, you're here at our behest. You work for us. He took off, he had an appointment. His appointment was to go on vacation with his family. This guy is repugnant.
Horrible.
Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable. No, you answer to us or you don't get a paycheck. How's that?
That's exactly it. How easy is that?
It's very easy. Any boss can do that. You are accountable to our representatives, and they are accountable to us. If they ask you a question, you answer it. You don't say, "Well, I can't tell you that," or "It's part of it." Is it part of an investigation? And he'll answer, "Well, it may be." No, do you see how they cover their tuchus in every way they can? We have to, if you want to keep anything of the FBI, cut it right down to the ankles. That means let's start with the 14 whistleblowers. They can stay.
Right, exactly. And that's such a great point. I am so tired of watching congressmen allow these people to come from the FBI and other agencies and just skate because they throw back this notion, oh, I can't discuss that. It's a court case at the moment. I can't. It's an investigation that's open. No. We do oversight on you. Yes. Or you don't go to work tomorrow. Yes. And that's what it's got to be. Otherwise, you are having this rogue force, this police state force, completely unaccountable, completely black operations, meaning absolutely hidden from the American people, from any kind of, I mean, oversight's not enough.
Right.
It needs a whole lot more control from the people because they are acting against the people, which again goes back to this totalitarian impulse.
Yeah.
You know, we see it in the KGB, we see it in the Committee of Surveillance and Public Safety and the Terror, and across all these horrible totalitarian governments that have taken force around the world ever since.
It's really something, but, you know, we're just going to keep talking about this until little by little Americans wake up, hopefully, by God's grace, before it's too late for us to even save the Republic. Just like Benjamin Franklin,
Benjamin Franklin.
Yes, that said, you know, when he came out from that, he said, they asked him, what do we have? What kind of a republic, if you can keep it? So we better, we're late in the coming of keeping it. So let's make sure that we do everything we can to keep it.
Yes.
Diana, where can the listeners follow and support your brilliant work and purchase your books, including The Red Thread? Where can they do that?
At my website, dianawest.net, and my Patreon channel, which is also under my name, Diana West.
Excellent. And as always, I'll have those links in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the On Air button, and right under the show description, you'll find all the links you need to follow Diana's work. Thanks so much, Diana, always, for sharing your brilliant assessments with us. We look forward to your return to the show. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.
Bye for now, Audrey. God bless you as well.
Thank you.